enforcement perspective and from those that, of us that hold to the rule of law, this individual absolutely should not have been on the streets. This is a tremendous failure on the part of the judicial system. I've been reading multiple articles of specifically the Milwaukee County DA, who basically stated outright that this person shouldn't have been on the street. His own assistant district attorney on a case that's still not been adjudicated, he basically stated that the assistant district attorney, his own person, let him out on a previous charge that, again, still wasn't adjudicated, a terribly violent crime, and let him out in the street. Now he gets caught again in Waukesha, and the Waukesha district attorney's office does the exact same thing. And this is and Brandon, you're probably one of the strongest individuals that points these things out. We're looking at this socialist, Marxist agenda, trying to appeal to, if you will, the far left position of letting criminals out and looking at criminals as victims instead of what they actually are, which is criminal.
Absolutely. And how, again, ironic that last week I was warning the audience about many of our prosecutors across America. I was specifically warning my audience that we have had the long march through the institutions, as Italian communist Antonio Gramsci, who was followed by the Frankfurt School guy, said they would do. And they have marched through our legal system. And many of our prosecutors today are not people that want to uphold the rule of law, but they want to bring political correctness, cultural Marxism, wokeness, critical race theory to their job. And now we're reading today, and I don't know what your local sources tell you, but Gateway Pundit is reporting that Milwaukee District Attorney John Chisholm bragged online about abolishing bail and congratulating other Soros district attorneys. What do you know about this Milwaukee District Attorney John Chisholm?
Well, Brandon and I actually worked closely with John Chisholm for multiple years. We definitely had differing opinions when it came to the concept of social engineering, lowering bails. The one thing we agreed on was when it came to some of specifically those in what we'll call underprivileged communities, specifically those of African-American background, the one thing I could agree on was that low bail, or actually high bails and long, long prison terms for individuals with low marijuana-type charges, maybe a possession of a small amount, those type of things, yes, I could see, I could understand.
Absolutely.
But what I can't...
I agree 100% with that part of it, so that you and I and John would agree. But the part you don't understand, please continue.
Well, the part that I can't understand nor accept is when we take violent criminals, and here's the way the system works, and I haven't been in law enforcement for 33 years. We would, with the sheriff's office, the local police department, we'd go out, we would arrest individuals. We'd run their criminal histories before we take the cases to the district attorney's office. You would come up with pages and pages of prior history, criminal histories on these individuals. They would go in, this new social engineering, get the criminals back on the streets, try and get them reformed. They keep doing it over and over and over again. Most folks maybe understand what recidivism rates is. In other words, an individual gets arrested, they get a low bail, they get a low sentence, they throw them back on the street, and they keep getting arrested. So this recidivism rate or return to jail is just off the charts horrible. So what we're looking at is these what's called deferred prosecution. Instead of if an individual like Mr. Brooks comes in, instead of holding him in jail, they defer the prosecution. In other words, they really don't charge him. They let him back out. At least they put a small bail on him, but it's ridiculous. When you have violent criminals that are out there hurting people and you put them back on the street, what happens? What happened with Mr. Brooks? Three different cases, three different arrests in 2 years, and now we have this absolutely horrific, unbelievable circumstance that takes place yesterday. 5 known people dead, 40-plus people seriously injured, and this is all a result of a poorly constructed liberal socialist system that has been developed in liberal counties such as Milwaukee and other places.
If we could go to the screen, Logan, I'll show my screenshot for those watching on television. Here is Soros-affiliated Milwaukee District Attorney John Chisholm. This, again, is coming from Gateway Pundit, and they're citing another source. And they say, here is Soros-affiliated Milwaukee District Attorney John Chisholm bragging about abolishing bail and congratulating other Soros DAs. This report claims to be the screenshots of John Chisholm, DA, at DA John Chisholm, and the tweet reportedly states, an ADA on pretrial detention reform, quote, we have really made a commitment to not keeping individuals held unnecessarily on cash bail in the Milwaukee County Jail, end quote. And then he says, sending my best wishes to San Francisco DA at George Gascon and his family, a lifelong public servant. George is a pioneer in prosecutory-driven justice reform. And it goes on through his legacy. And then again, congratulations to San Francisco District Attorney-elect, names them, on hard-fought and well-deserved win for prosecution reform. I look forward to working with DA Bowden and reformers across the U.S., blah, blah, blah. Now, again, if this is report is true, that he is Soros-affiliated, that in itself, George Soros, is interesting because, again, we were warning about that again last week in some of these prosecutors that are being put out there that don't have the backs of our police, they don't have the backs of our law enforcement, and then they do, as we hear now, let people out that should not be let out. Again, I'm going to agree with former acting Milwaukee County Sheriff, my friend today who's joining us, Richard Schmidt, and I would agree with John Chisholm, the district attorney here, the DA. I don't think we should be holding people on nonviolent charges. Nonviolent people should not be held on high bails for weeks and months on end waiting trial. I think all you're doing is making them more criminal, more hardened, more bitter, more angry. I agree with that. But to run around and think that you can let people out like this on $1,000 bail earlier in the week, I mean, this again is what happens. There seems to be no common sense because I don't know, Mr. Schmidt, but to put up $1,000 bail, what would that have required on the part of Mr. Brooks?
Well, in Milwaukee, when you talk about $1,000 bail, it's a literal $1,000. But here's the issue. $1,000 to hold somebody that has multiple criminal felony accounts endangering safety, these are things that you belong in jail. We have jails for a specific reason. It's to protect the community. And when you put these individuals out, they can afford these bails. They get people, they have friends, they have members of their associate gangs usually. They can come up with this money with no problem. But you're taking a violent offender and putting him back on the street. What's the issue? The issue is the liberal socialist agenda is we have to cater to the crowd that is technically voting in those individuals and supporting them. A district attorney is an elected official. These individuals need the support of the vast amount of those in the urban community. And the only way to kowtow to this is to lower the standards, allow these people out on extremely low bails, tout it through the media with the individuals that you've already named. And this is what's happening. Safety is no longer a concern with these elected officials.
Hold it's right there. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back. Glad you're with us. Again, TV side, you're wondering why is he sitting there waiting. We're waiting on the earpiece for radio to come on. Some of our breaks are shorter than theirs, so we have some lag time there. Joining me is the former acting sheriff, Richard Schmidt, former acting sheriff of Milwaukee County. We'll tell you about what he's doing now, and you might want to get a pen. We'll give you some websites. I want to go back to real quick bail, but if the bail is $1,000, what does it require for the individual to put up if you use a bail bonds system or service?
Well, again, in Wisconsin, we don't use bail bond systems. When it's $1,000 cash bail, that's literally what bail is. So they have to come up with $1,000. Yes.
Oh wow.
So, but the issue is though, Brandon, in when individuals have a lot of family support, if you will, from a criminal activity side, when they have gang member support, others that are trying to support their, quite frankly, their criminal and anarchist behavior, they're more than happy to come up with this money to help these guys get back out of jail. So they get out quickly. They know how to get this money quickly. The problem is those low bails, they're able to pay them, and instead of being in jail where they belong, they're back out in the street. And these bails are way too low for the type of behavior that people such as Mr. Brooks has displayed in the past.
Yeah. Well, we do know that the communists have had in their goal for a long time the abolishment of prisons and, quotes, defunding the police. And we have Patricia Kaluers, one of the founders of Black Lives Matter, who says on video she's a trained Marxist. She says on one video we have, when she says, when we say defund the police, we mean abolish the police. She's on video saying that. But we have known for decades and decades that one of the goals of the communist is to abolish prisons. In fact, here is an article right here. Black Lives Matter defends Democrats' pass bill to abolish prisons. This is from November 22nd, 2020. So actually, what is that? A year ago today? How ironic. A year ago today, World Tribune. Black Lives Matter, which was allowed by Democrat lawmakers to loot and burn cities throughout America during the summer of 2020, now believes it is in position to manipulate the party's platform. From its nearly minted perch atop the party, Black Lives Matter is demanding Democrats push legislation to abolish prisons. Black Lives Matter leaders are calling on Democrats to embrace the BREATHE Act, which includes a section requiring, quote, roadmap for prison abolition, end quote. Quote, the BREATHE Act is a legislative love letter to black people, end quote. BLM co-founder Patricia Kaluers wrote in an op-ed for Teen Vogue on Thursday. The Black Lives Matter introduced legislation in July, and it was announced by Socialist Democrat representatives Rashida Tlaib of Michigan and Ayanna Pressley of Massachusetts. It has not been brought before Congress. A summary of the act calls for the Department of Justice and Department of Health and Human Services to create a plan that, quote, provides full decarceration of federal detention facilities within 10 years, end quote, and, quote, enacts a moratorium on all new federal prison, jail, immigration, and youth detention construction, end quote. This is not new. This is decades old of the communists to want to abolish. At one time, one of the 48 goals warned about by Cleon Skozin in his book, The Naked Communist, was to abolish the FBI. Of course, some today are calling for that on the conservative side because they become so corrupt, as the four retired FBI agents testified in our four live town hall meetings on November 11th, stating the Department of Justice has now been taken over by Marxists, and now they're taking over the FBI as their political force. So some maybe would say it needs to be abolished. Others would say, well, that would be helping the Marxists accomplish their goal. Why don't we just reform it, clean it out from the top down, move it out of Washington, D.C., and put it in, you know, flyover country in the middle of America? That might be the better option, and therefore we're not helping the Marxists accomplish their goals. But, Mr. Schmidt, this has been the goal of the Marxists for a long time. Defund the police, abolish prisons. And we're just getting a small taste of what society is going to look like if these characters have their goal. Because I'm sure you're watching the news report out of San Francisco and out of Chicago. What was it? Was it in Chicago where 80-some-odd of them ran out of cars and just you know, looted fine, upstanding, you know, expensive stores, 80 of them at one shot? San Francisco, they're looting nonstop stores. I mean, this is what happens when you let criminals run the streets without any consequences, correct?
Well, absolutely. And this this false narrative, fake narrative, false news, whatever you want to call it, about criminal justice reform. It's starting in Washington. It's starting literally from the top down. And this has been an ongoing thing attempting to push the socialist agenda. Americans need to wake up and realize that what is taking place is the destruction of public safety. The rule of law is being thrown out. Everything is about social engineering, reforming what is an alleged criminal justice debacle. What the debacle truly is when you take law and order away, when you take police out of protecting the citizens of our country and our cities and our counties and so forth, what you have is what happened last night. A knucklehead that should have been in jail gets out, takes a car, drives through, and everybody has seen the video. They know exactly what happened. This is the mind, the criminal behavior, and now those that have public positions from the president on down to the local district attorneys, everybody is trying to cover their tracks. Well, this shouldn't happen. Well, maybe somebody made a mistake. And they'll keep, if you will, trying to cover themselves. And instead of addressing the problem, saying this is dead wrong, we need reform. We need to revert back to what the original bail system was. We need to put criminals in jail, leave them in jail to protect public safety, which is what the government was originally designed to do by God in Genesis chapter 9. We've totally destroyed the system that, if you will, God originally set up.
Yeah, I believe we need more restitution and execution. More restitution and execution. We're warehousing people. We've turned it into a money-making thing for many private corporations when we should be making more and more of these people. And I'm not talking about the nonviolent people. Some of the violent people, I am talking about the nonviolent people. The violent people, many of these people should be executed. Many of these violent people should be executed. The nonviolent, we need restitution. We need to be working with them to not just sit there and be warehoused, become more violent, angry, and bitter, but find ways to get them involved in learning a skill, learning a trade, and paying back restitution to the community, the taxpayers, and then the people that they have victimized. The whole system is completely broke, I agree, but these guys are going to the extreme, using a broken system to now, which we can agree on aspects of it are broken, they're using a system now to justify the absolute absurd. Let me ask you about community policing, because a lot of these people say that, and the average person listening today would say, well, that sounds like a good idea. I'm for community policing. And when we think of community policing, perhaps we think of some of the TV shows we grew up watching, and the police officer, the sheriff deputy, he knows the community he's patrolling. He's maybe walking a beat or riding in his car on that same area over and over. He knows the names of the kids. They know his name. He's officer so-and-so or deputy so-and-so. The parents know him. The taxpayers know him. He has built a relationship in that part of town that is his beat. And you would say, well, that's community policing. That's not what community policing means to the Black Lives Matter crowd, to the progressives, the Marxists. As I understand it, sir, what they mean is they're going to put together boards and they're going to take away what was your authority as the former acting sheriff of Milwaukee County. And they're going to, instead of you being in control and running things from the top down, you're going to put together a community board of Black Lives Matter activists, Marxists, Black Panthers, Antifa types, and they're now going to dictate policies. Unelected people are going to dictate policies to the police department. That's my understanding of when they talk about community policing. Would you comment, please?
You're exactly like Brandon. You're spot on. What I saw even, and I retired back in January of 2019, what was taking place then was all across the country, there was civil unrest, there was rioting over a few incidents that had taken place where police were involved. So all of a sudden, everything was about, well, let's get, if you will, the ultra-liberals in place, let's put them on these boards, let's have them tell the police what time of day it is and what they can and can't do. We are seeing some of the effects of that starting to take place. We see police chiefs that are being dismissed because they used an alleged too much force, or one of their police officers used too much force in a deadly force situation. The liberals, and you've mentioned the groups, the Antifas, the Black Lives Matter, they are all about abolishing police and allowing them literally to run the streets. That is not just socialism. That's moving way beyond socialism into destroying the rule of law, taking away the total concept of public safety is being trashed by these individuals that have these horrible liberal backgrounds. But I want to add one other piece to this. There are many, many, many people living in depressed areas, high crime areas, that want police protection.
Correct.
And those that have this socialist agenda scream so loudly that those who want to be protected and helped, they're being totally dismissed. Brandon, what we need to do is get back to where, even though we had an election that many of us were displeased with, all the different facets there, we need to get back out. We need to vote the right people back in. We need to support those that are conservative, law-abiding, rule of law people, and change the country back the way it must be before we totally destroy it and end up in Marxism.
Absolutely. Let me ask you in the closing minutes here, are you seeing record numbers of police officers leaving the big cities and going to more rural or smaller communities because they are seeing the lack of support? They're seeing the, quote, community policing concept coming in. So are you seeing more officers, whether they're sheriff deputies or police officers, leaving the forces in the big communities?
What I've seen over the last couple of years is people that are law enforcement officers in major urban areas retiring, doing everything they can to get out of the business. We're seeing a tremendous lack of interest in young people wanting to become cops because of just watching the media, the horrific way many of our police officers are treated, not only by the criminal element, but by those of government officials. They don't want to go to jail for doing their job and protecting citizens because someone second guesses them. So, yes, being in law enforcement, specifically in an urban area at this point, it's very difficult, and the more of this bad public perception that the liberal media puts out, the harder it's going to be to get good, strong, godly sometimes, and at least conservative individuals to join the police forces and the sheriff's office.
Amen, because I'm seeing that as they do this, they're lowering the standard of who they're hiring. And the more they lower the standard, people not properly trained, people who shouldn't be there, lowering standards of, you know, past criminal records, drug use, etc. As they lower the standard, they're going to have more problems. You're going to end up with more video footage of people doing things as officers or deputy sheriffs they shouldn't be doing because we hired an unqualified candidate. But I think that's part of the Marxist social engineering. They want more unqualified police or sheriff deputies doing things they shouldn't be doing, particularly on camera, so they can then use it for their narrative, which is to federalize the police, federalize them. So we come back in my remaining moments with Richard Schmidt. I'm going to ask him about the push to federalize our police as part of the continuing goal of a Marxist revolution, federalizing your police. Mr. Richard Schmidt. Then he's going to give us our website. He's also a pastor now. You're going to want to find out about that. Don't go away. glad you're with us. Worldview Radio, our website, worldviewradio.com. My guest is Mr. Schmidt. He was the acting sheriff of Milwaukee County. He served in the sheriff's department for many, many, many years and was the acting sheriff as well. I actually had the opportunity to interview him when he was the acting sheriff, when we were together at an event in Dallas, Texas a few years ago. I need to be getting him on more regularly as a commentator on issues related to policing and the breakdown of society. So I want to make him more of a regular guest. Before we let you go, sir, tell us, if you would, about what I spoke of before the break. As you said, qualified and in some cases godly Christian men that want to be police officers to serve and protect, or at least conservative, pro-America, patriotic, you know, constitutionalist, as we see fewer and fewer such candidates and many of them retiring early or getting out of the bigger cities, I'm concerned because I have done a lot of research on this the last many years. The substandard candidates that are being hired, standards are being lowered. I believe that's part of the goal of the Marxist social engineers, because then they can get people to do things they shouldn't be doing, and particularly on camera, they can use as the cannon fodder for their revolution and say, look, the police are so bad, they're so corrupt, they're so inept, we need to federalize the police. That is something Alex Newman and many others have been writing about. Do you have any thoughts about that push to federalize the police in America?
Well, again, when you look from the top down, what does the federal government, what does the political agenda amount to? When you look at the current, and I don't like to get into the discussion between Democrats and Republicans, but unfortunately we're forced to. When you look at the current way the ultra-liberal Democratic Party is going, who's running it, who's paying for it, who's behind it? And all of these things about social engineering, reforming, if you will, the criminal justice system so it's much more liberal and allowing criminals out. If you run the police force and the police are trained and taught at the federal level, let things ride. Don't enforce the border. Don't arrest criminal behavior. Don't stop people that have drugs in their cars. Let them come through. Don't arrest violent criminals, or if you do, let them back out on the street. Everything you've been saying, Brandon, is spot on again. We're watching the slow deterioration of, if you will, the lower-level police forces, and if indeed that happens, as it's at least going in that direction right now, and the federal level actually takes over all policing, and if indeed the federal level stays as corrupt and as liberal as it is, we are looking at a country that is going to collapse.
Yeah, I'm very concerned of that. So let me ask you if you're willing to go there, because you are a student of Bible prophecy. Does all this seem to fit into Bible prophecy for you, Richard?
Well, absolutely. When we look at 2 Timothy chapter 3, it tells us that in the last days, perilous times will come. 2 Timothy chapter 4 tells us that people's ears will become itching. They'll look for ways to, if you will, push God aside and to run their own agenda. I'm not the least bit surprised that the closer we come to the event that we like to call the rapture, when Jesus Christ comes to take his children home, 1 Thessalonians 4:13 to 18, 1 Corinthians 15:50 to 54, Jesus is coming back, and he said the days before that he would come, there will be perilous times. So am I shocked by what's taking place? Absolutely not. On the positive side, I'm actually rejoicing, because the worse the world is getting, which is the setup, if you will, for Christ to return, he could be coming back to get us at any moment, and in that I rejoice.
Absolutely. Give us your website, your ministry website, and then tell us you're now serving your community, but this time you're serving in full-time ministry. Tell us about those, Bible prophecy ministry, and then where you're serving as a pastor.
All right. Well, I'm on prophecyfocus.org, prophecyfocus, one word, .org. We have a TV program that runs through VCY. It's also available on YouTube, so it's Prophecy Focus. Also, I'm the pastor at Union Grove Baptist Church in Union Grove, Wisconsin, and the website there is MyUGBC. So it's MYU as in Union, G as in Grove, UGBC, so it's Union Grove Baptist Church, so my UGBC, and thanks for letting me say that.
Well, thank you, sir. You didn't ask me to. I wanted to because I'm thankful we have guys like you in the pulpit. You know, we're pretty hard on the guys that are the hirelings, but when we have a guy that's, again, God-fearing, constitutionalist, you know, dispensationalist, Bible-teaching, correct gospel, man, the pulpit, we need to point him out because this is a perfect example of what we need. We need more of this, and I would encourage more of the men that are listening. After you've done your service in corporate world or law enforcement, maybe follow in the footsteps of Richard Schmidt and go into the pulpit. We need more men like you, sir.
Well, I appreciate that, and I, of course, appreciate what you're doing, standing strong, defending the faith, fighting those agendas that are trying to take down America. We need this out in the public sphere, if you will, in the worst way right now. We've got to keep fighting. Don't give up. Vote. Don't give up because the last election seemed to go the wrong direction or the potential, and it seems to be documented corruption that took place. We cannot give up. We cannot back down. We must fight the good fight till Jesus comes.
Amen to that. Richard Schmidt checking in, former acting Milwaukee County Sheriff. Thank you, sir, for being with us today.
Thank you, Brandon. Appreciate it.
We'll be getting you back. Wow, great, great interview. And again, our hearts are going out to the folks there in the Milwaukee area, particularly Waukesha. Pray for the folks at Waukesha. You know, I concluded my show on Friday by asking you to pray for Kenosha, and I would ask you to continue to do that. And here we are now asking you to pray for Waukesha. Wisconsin has seen some very tough days, and we'll continue to monitor this and bring more, insight into what's really going on and what allowed this to precipitate, this to come to reality. Very, very sad. Just grieves all of us that are watching. So pray for the folks. Pray for the families who have lost loved ones and family and friends. Pray for the victims that are fighting for life. Again, the latest report I have is 6 children in critical condition. I don't know if you did you see the video of that red car speeding right past that little toddler that was kind of dancing to the Christmas music on the street? Didn't that just make your blood run cold? The whole thing is just horrific, absolutely horrific. And we're reaching a time where you're just scared to go out and do the things you used to do every day, from terrorist attacks, you know, the Boston Marathon bombing to this. You get where you are afraid to go do the most basic American things. But of course, we cannot let the folks win, but we certainly need to be careful and alert and aware of our surroundings at all times. Put your head on a swivel. Train your wife and kids and friends on situational awareness. Absolutely crucial. Absolutely crucial. Well, joining me now is Patrick Wood. Patrick Wood he's going to join us here in just a minute. He's with Technocracy News. Technocracy News. It's 2 very troubling stories that I want to cover with him today. But before we do, Logan, let's show him the screen for those watching on television. This is a website that I've followed for a long time, Law Enforcement Today, and I'm honored to say that they have now covered our town hall meetings with the 4 retired FBI agents. This came out on the 19th of November. Retired FBI agents, : Democrats want to tear America down so they can, quote, build back better, end quote, as a communist country. And you'll find this at lawenforcementtoday.com, lawenforcementtoday.com. I've linked to it at worldviewreport.com. So if you go to worldviewreport.com, I've linked to it. But you can see this lengthy article. They start out talking about these FBI agents, who they are, what they said. Then as you go down the page, they get more into some of the things that I said. They even have a hyperlink to my docu-movie, Siege, the docu-movie. They quote many others. It's just an excellent article. And I want to thank the folks over at lawenforcementtoday.com for highlighting these 4 town hall meetings, providing a link to it so we can get out what these 4 FBI agents are warning about. Again, lawenforcementtoday.com is reporting on our 4 retired FBI agents and the 3 one-hour town hall meetings we've released. We hope to release the 4th one tonight. That's my plan, is to release for you at WVWTV.com the 4th and final so far of the town hall meetings with those four agents. But that is getting a lot of action and traction, and we're very, very happy about that. All right, joining me now is Patrick Wood. Patrick, welcome back to the broadcast. Thank you for joining us. Sorry for the delay. We had the, I don't know if you're listening to my interview with Richard Schmidt, the former acting sheriff of Milwaukee County.
I did not get to hear it, but that sounds really good.
Well, we were dealing with the tragedy in Waukesha, and so, again, yes, we went a little bit longer than we expected. I want to go back to a screenshot here of, this is actually technocracy.news. This is Patrick's website. Aspen Institute's Orwellian Commission on Controlling Speech in America. You write, the Aspen Institute is a quasi-religious organization originally founded as Aspen Institute for Humanistic Studies, which is very true. Most people just call it the Aspen Institute. They never finish the full name, which I was going to, but you did in your article, so thank you. It was tightly affiliated with the Trilateral Commission in the 1970s and continues to be a mouthpiece for trilateral policies. The Aspen campaign against free speech has the deep globalist roots. Let's talk, first of all, about the Trilateral Commission. People make fun of that when you mention it, but the gentleman that ran for president in the 1960s and that Ronald Reagan campaigned for, Barry Goldwater, he openly warned about the Trilateral Commission. But a lot of people, even on the right, will make fun of you when you mention the Trilateral Commission. But it was a real thing, was it not?
It certainly was. And at the time that Barry Goldwater wrote his memoirs, we were covering, writing about the Trilateral Commission in Scottsdale, Arizona. He was in Paradise Valley, Arizona, just a neighboring city. And one day, his chief of staff walked into our office and demanded to know what we knew about the Trilateral Commission. That scared the pants off me. I thought, sure, the guy's going to pull out a Tommy gun. But as it turned out, it was his chief of staff. It was all good. And he said, the senator just wants to know what you know to confirm what he's about to write in his book. And he did very bluntly declare that the Trilateral Commission was a dangerous, dangerous threat to sovereignty in America.
What can you tell us about the Trilateral Commission? Is it around today?
Just about everything, I suppose. It was founded by David Rockefeller, Big Money Bags, and Zbigniew Brzezinski, the Brain. And Brzezinski was a strategist that laid the groundwork for modern globalization. They declared in 1973, when they were founded, that they were going to create a new international economic order. And this is exactly what we see today, is a new international economic order. Brzezinski called it the technotronic era that was ahead. And they put all their marbles into that basket back then to create this new technotronic era. We're struggling with the fruit of that today. But having said that, the Trilateral Commission drew its membership from a global community of North America, Europe, and also Japan. It's broader than that now, but they still only have about 300 members. Very elite, exclusive group of politicos and big corporations, lawyers, and so on around the world.
Wow. All right, we come back. Let's get to this commission, the Aspen Institute's Orwellian Commission on Controlling Speech in America. Then I want to get to the one about digital passports and a video that we'll show you that's embedded in his article. This is all over at technocracy.news. And again, we're linking to these articles as well at worldviewreport.com. We'll be right back. Welcome back. Glad you're with us. Worldview Radio, our website, worldviewradio.com, worldviewradio.com. Joining me now is Patrick Wood, technocracy.news. Tell me about this commission, Aspen Institute's Orwellian Commission on Controlling Speech in America. Tell me about that, Patrick.
Well, the idea of this was to kind of craft out a strategy for fighting, quote-unquote, misinformation. When I don't want people to misunderstand what we're talking about here, but when they say misinformation, they're talking about us, okay? They say we are spreading misinformation. So they want to find ways to shut us down and to shut us out of the discussion. And this is a very fundamental issue right now that the global elite is challenging, and that is that the answer to all kinds of craziness, you know, that's not free speech, just lies and distortions. What they're saying is the only way to control this is by controlling the speech, controlling free speech in the first place. Just don't let it happen. Traditionally, free speech is, or I should say, misinformation is countered with more of good speech. And this has been the American way since we were founded. People are free to say crazy things, but other people are free to refute them. And then those who happen to be listening to that discussion can make up their mind on who's telling the truth and who's not. These people want to eliminate half of the argument from the discussion. And that basically would be you and I.
Well, let's go through your article real quick before we get to the digital passport. You're saying in their article here that they want the import of their recommendations are abundantly clear, reducing harms, mitigating the worst harms of mis and disinformation, such as threats to public health and democratic participation, and the targeting of communities through hate speech and extremism. Of course, that's loaded. I mean, that's public health. If you say the truth about vaccines, that's a threat to public health. And if you want to disrupt the democratic process or participation, you say things like, well, your vote's not really being counted. You know, there's voter fraud. Yeah. And then if you target communities through hate speech, that means you speak the truth about Islam or the LGBTQ community. I mean, that's just loaded right there.
Totally loaded. And it goes on. I mean, it just goes on and on. These people are very paternalistic, I have to add. I've tracked the Aspen Institute ever since early 1970s. They're totally paternalistic in their view of the world. They think that they are father knows best, and the rest of us are just children to be, you know, herded here or there and allowed to say this or that, or, you know, like in this case, or we'll wash your mouth out with soap.
Well, look at this. One of their goals here is public restoration fund. I mean, that sounds like they're going to, fine people and then redistribute the money?
Well, it does sound like that. And the restoration, that's part of the restoration, probably is financial. But the basic idea here is to restore, to use the money to restore what they call the countermeasures to what we're discussing here. In other words, how can they set up systems of censorship and spread that around to other organizations, other media organizations, other, you know, broadcasters, et cetera?
Well, look at this one. Super spreader accountability. Hold super spreaders of mis and disinformation to account with clear, transparent, and consistently applied policies that enable quicker, more decisive actions and penalties. With their impact, regardless of location or political views or role in society. So, boy, you get labeled a super spreader. I mean, I think your days and my days are numbered if the Lord doesn't return soon. And Patrick,
I know you're absolutely right. And yeah, the bad news here is, Brandon, you're definitely a super spreader.
Well, at least I'm super at something. At least I'm super at something, right?
That's right.
Wow.
Oh, gosh, it's incredible.
Look at this one. Amendments to Section 230 of the Communications Decency Act of 1996. Withdraw platform immunity for content that is promoted through paid advertising and post-promotion. And to remove immunity as it relates to the implementation of product features, recommendation engines, and design. So, again, I don't know what all that means other than I don't know if that means that if you – have someone come on your site that puts up something, now you're responsible for what they're putting up too?
It kind of seems to say that, but my feeling is that they want to strip any potential legal immunity that you and I might have if we post on these various platforms or on blogs, et cetera, so that we can be sued directly for, you know, for what we put on our websites. This would be, I'm not sure that people can't do this right now if they really had a mind to, if it was fraud or you know, if we said something that was like truly, you know, terrorist type stuff. But for the average person who publishes or posts information on either social media or on their own blog somewhere or on YouTube, whatever, if this would open them up to lawsuits by these very same people we're talking about here, it would be absolutely devastating for free speech. Absolutely devastating.
Also on your website, you have an article by Dr. Joseph Mercola, Technocracy Ahead, Digital ID is Set to Control Your Life. I wanted to play the video real quick, but I'll have to play it later. But this, tell me who the video is by. I mean, this is some military group or something?
Well, let me pull the article up here. This video was done by the company itself. In fact, I think we had a couple of, I put another video down below as well that was from the vendor of this digital ID wallet. And it's an incredible story. It's been completely out of the news here, the media in the United States, but this happened in India. And India is just going full bore technocracy at this point. And they're testing this digital ID system. And, of course, India is a huge nation, huge, kind of like China. You know, they got just huge, diverse population. But
this is actually a military, it says the above video by the military surveillance firm, Thales, which has acknowledged that vaccine passports are, in fact, the precursor to digital ID wallets. And as you can see, the digital ID is being sold as a phenomenal convenience, something that will protect you and your identity. And this gal, as you watch the video, I mean, every time you turn around, she's checking in with the government. I mean, whether she can get the interstate, rent a car, go into a restaurant, everything she does is controlled by that digital wallet.
That's exactly the idea. Yep.
I'm going to play the full video in another show and get you back. Technocracy.news, technocracy.news. Patrick, as always, thank you for what you're doing and keeping us up to date and for being on with us today.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you, Patrick. Patrick Wood checking in. And again, the news cycle is running so fast, we're just covering a small portion. I have a lot more stories linked over on my website, worldviewtimes.com. Brand new articles there by Leo Homan and myself, worldviewtimes.com. Thanks for listening. Take care.
This has been Worldview Weekend Radio with Brannon House. CDs are available by calling 1-800-729-9829. Or to hear an MP3 file of this or earlier programs, go to worldviewweekend.com. Views expressed may or may not be those of Worldview Weekend, BCY America, or this station. This program is a public affairs presentation of worldviewweekend.com and is heard weekdays on BCY America.